People will reap exactly what they sow. The Amplified version that amplifies the Greek, certain Greek words. Whatever a man sows, that and only that is what he will reap.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Welcome, everyone, to Love Never Fails. Today, Pastor Bill continues his study from the New Testament epistle of Galatians. And this message is titled, A Time to Sow, A Time to Reap. Now, Pastor Bill.
And let's turn in our Bibles this morning in Galatians. Galatians chapter 6, and we'll begin in verse 6 here, but what I'd like to do, let's go ahead and start reading at verse 1, or let me read to you, and it says in Galatians 6, 1, it says, Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you be tempted. And it says, and bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Now, let me stop there. That's not our text. We were there last Sunday. But the reason I wanted to read this is that because chapter 6 that we're reading is a continuation from what a spiritual man is in chapter 5, okay? So it continues even now. It says, Let him who is taught in the word share in all good things with him who teaches, and do not be deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of his flesh reap corruption. He who sows to the Spirit of the Spirit will reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing what? Good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially of those who are of the household of the faith. And the church says, Amen. This morning I want to talk to you from this text beginning in verse 6 about a time to sow and a time to reap. We've now come to the conclusion of this great epistle. And we know that Paul's epistle is one of the greatest written next to Romans. And the reason is he defends the doctrine of justification by faith alone. And we know that we're saved not by works or being good, because none of us are any good. Amen? But we're saved through God's grace. But what blows me away about today is that the text that we have before us so identifies with what we are about to do on the campus. Amen? The announcements said 39 days till Candy Cane Christmas. No, it's 25 days till Candy Cane Christmas. You better not, 39 days, you'll miss it. No, and it just, everything goes perfectly, this text, with what we're about to do, because we're God's whirlwind for 2019. Amen? That's right. Great things that the Lord is doing here. So, you know, Candy Cane Lane is about to come alive, and it's going to be happening next week. The word good that we're going to have repetitive in our text this morning is a beautiful word in the Greek. It literally means noble or beautiful or worthy. It means excellent. Matter of fact, it's the same word that is used in John chapter 10, verse 11, when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, the supreme shepherd. See, when we do good, which is a fruit, amen, of those who walk in the Spirit, goodness, all right? Now listen carefully. When we do good, we now demonstrate the active goodness of God living in our hearts. Amen? And that's what we're getting ready to do here. We're getting ready to sow good things into this community. What happens when a person sows good? What do you reap? Well, you reap more than good, as we're going to find out. It's better than what you've done. God always does exceedingly abundantly above anything that we can ask or think according to the Holy Spirit who is living in us. Amen? So with all that being said, this whirlwind that God is forming, you know, the Bible says in Psalm 37:3, trust in the Lord, do good, feed, dwell in the land, and feed on his faithfulness. That's what we're getting ready to do, as we have already done. We are trusting in the Lord and have been doing so since the beginning of the year. And now things are starting to gel. Amen? They're starting to happen. There's a movement. There's an excitement. But there's also a warfare. I am pleading with you that you start interceding for this great event. I can promise you that the devil does not want any single mom raising their children, grandparents raising their children's children to even be here. He wants us to be confused. Who knows what he's going to try to do, but it just means he's afraid. We win. Amen? With all that being said, are you at Galatians 6:6? Let's start out. This is one of my favorite verses. You probably love this one too. Let's look at it. Let him who is taught in the word, meaning the word of God, share or literally provide for in all good things with him who teaches. Now, who's the one who teaches? Who? Pastor Bill. Now, do you know that supporting ministers, missionaries, whatever, do you know it goes all the way back to the early church? It's not something that's new. I know that most people believe that pastors shouldn't be paid anything. All they do is play golf all week long. They never have to work on a sermon. It just snaps like that. They got it down. You know what I mean. They probably work 20 hours a week, right? Follow me. Paul starts out, he tells the church, all the churches of Galatia, he says, listen, do good to those pastors that love you. Do good to those who share and teach you the word of God. Teach you the word, the spiritual treasures. You who have material treasures, return the favor. In other words, bless them so they can live too. Amen? Remember what Paul writes to the church at Corinth. He said this in 1 Corinthians 9:9 about ministers and missionaries and teachers of God's word. Paul writes, he says, for it is written in the law of Moses, goes all the way back to Moses, Deuteronomy, I believe it is. He says, for it's written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. Is it oxen that God is concerned about, Paul says. Well, is God concerned about oxen? Well, of course he is. Yeah, he likes oxen. He created them. Amen? You know what Paul just said there? He's making a statement, a question. You see, back during the law of Moses, in those days, that if a Jewish man did not take care of his oxen, in other words, while the ox was doing all the labor, all the work, maybe treading out the wheat or whatever, grinding it or whatever he was doing, if to muzzle that ox was a cruel thing to do. And so if that occurred, the law said, go scourge that man for muzzling the ox. So Paul continues and he says, or does he say it all together for our sakes? And Paul says, yeah, for our sakes, no doubt, it is written that he who plows, we're talking about sowing and reaping now, he who plows should plow in hope, and he who threshes in hope should be a partaker of his hope. If we have sown spiritual things, Paul says, for you, meaning eternal things, is it a great thing if we reap your material things? So the word of God is eternal. The temporary things are the substance of this world. Amen? So what Paul is saying, he says, if God cares about the ox, you better care about that pastor. You better care about that missionary and that teacher and so forth. Don't muzzle them. They get hungry too. They have to eat. Look how skinny I am. You know? No. So he says not to do that. Matter of fact, he goes on later in Corinthians. In Corinthians, I don't know, I think it's chapter 9, of course, but verse 14. He says, the Lord commands you to take care of those people, the ministers and so forth. Now, he says, now, because of that, look at verse 7. He says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for a few things that a man sows, that he will also reap. Is that what it says? Let me read it again then. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. So Paul warns the churches of Galatia. He says, you better stop deceiving yourselves. And you better stop being misled. He said, those teachers, You know, you need to remain with those teachers, remain in fellowship with those teachers that are teaching you the truth of the gospel, that a man is saved by grace alone, through faith alone, through Christ alone. Amen? He says, and you better run from the Judaizers that are bringing you a different gospel, that are teaching you that it's Jesus plus this is how you're saved. In other words, it's works. Yes, you believe, but you have to do this or you're not saved. You have to become a Jew under the law of Moses, be circumcised or whatever. No, they were putting them into legalism. Paul says, you run from those people. It's not law, it's grace, loved one. Amen? So Paul says to do that, and he says, stop deceiving yourselves because you're mocking God by doing that, and God is never mocked. The word mocked literally means to turn your nose up, to turn your nose up to God, or to sneer at God. It's a contemptible word. It's a terrible, terrible thing to do. God says, I'm not mocked. And you say, well, now, Bill, I hear people mock God every day. That is true. But here's the deal. They're not going to get away with it. Amen? No one mocks God and gets away with it. Ernest Hemingway, a great writer, you've probably read, you know, some of his great, great novels. He was a different kind of man. You know, he was very loose in his morality and so forth. A heavy drinker, all the rest of those things, and he would make fun of God, and he would say, like, the Lord's Prayer. And what he would do, he would say, our nada, which art in nada. What does that mean, nada, in Spanish? Then, am I saying it right, nada? I said, I know, I just check and see if you knew. No, you know, that's contemptible, isn't it? That's turning your nose up unto the Lord. I got an email, it was horrible, it broke my heart. This person mocking God. And you know what? He was holding up a placard, and you know what he said? Listen to me. He said this. He says, if Jesus returns, kill him again. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 12:14, for God will bring every work into judgment. Every work, including every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Don't be deceived. God is never mocked. Amen? Yes, some days there's going to be a payday. So whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know, I love trees. I love bur oak trees. You know, a bur oak tree, you know, their leaves are huge. They have gigantic acorns. I mean, you could probably be, if you've, like right now, they're really falling. And some of them, they probably knock you out if you walked underneath and they fell on you. You know, that's not true, but it sounded good. But I have bur oaks in my yard, and so I go out, and what I've done on this one bur oak that we have is huge. And it came from a farm in Texas and from a lady who was, worked on trees. And so she has a picture of herself standing under the bur oak on her grandmother's farm when she was just a little girl. And that bur oak is gigantic. I mean, it's one of the largest in Texas, by the way. So she grew from an acorn, just the little seed, the acorn, for me, and I planted it, I guess, 20 years ago. I don't know how long, maybe 25, and it is gigantic. So I went out and not too long ago, and got all the little acorns, and you know, you take the little husk off of them and make sure they're not cracked and all that. And so right now, I'm planting them in a little pot, and I water the acorn and all. Are y'all interested in this? Okay. And so you have to turn the acorn the right way. You have to leave part of it, you know, where the sun can hit it, and you have to have it with the south sun, if you will, and I'm waiting on it to sprout, and I'm going to plant it on the other side of the house. And then the other ones, don't tell anybody, I'm trying to grow them for the kids in Halton Christian School. Yeah, maybe they'll eat an acorn, I don't know. Why did you say that? I said all that to say that everything on earth, everything, every person, everything on the wind, the waters, animals, everything is sowing and reaping. Did you know that? See, they're carrying seeds. And so that's why you say, well, how did that get, why is that growing over there? Well, a squirrel took it over there. You know how, you follow me? Or a bird sat up on the tree and boom, you know what I'm talking about. And that's how all these seeds, they go everywhere. So everyone and everything on earth, man, they are sowing and reaping, and it always results in a harvest. Always. Always. That, loved one, is a law. The Bible says, whatever a man, any woman, any believer, any unbeliever, whatever you sow in this life, you're going to reap. It is a universal law from Almighty God. It is unchangeable. It can never be revoked. Do you understand? Now, thank God our sins are washed away, okay? So don't start worrying. I see fear, you know, cropping up. No, don't worry about that. That's not what I'm talking about. If you're a farmer and you go out and you sow wheat, does the farmer go, man, I'm so worried, I don't know if wheat's going to come up. Do you understand? Does he do that? No, why? He sowed wheat. When you sow wheat, you don't get corn. Is that right? Okay. See, the harvest is always going to be identical to what is sown. Now, with all that being said, it's impossible for anything else to come up out of that ground. If you sow wheat, nothing else can come up. I mean, of course, weeds and whatever, but wheat is wheat. So when you sow into your life, your marriage, raising your children, loved one, you're constantly sowing. Sometimes you reap things you don't want to reap. Sometimes you get older in life and you say, I wish I had not sown that. Amen? The Bible says this. In Job 4:8, it says, Job says, this is what I've seen. Those who plow iniquity and sow trouble, trouble in people's lives, trouble in their marriage, trouble with whatever it might be, those who sow trouble reap the same. In other words, it's identical. Whatever you sow, that is what you're going to reap. That will be the harvest. And it also is very positive. Proverbs 11:18, he who sows righteousness will have a sure reward. It can also be very negative. Proverbs 22:8, he who sows iniquity will reap sorrow. Jesus even said that there's sowing and reaping and a harvest in the things that you hear. In Mark 4:23, Jesus said, he who hath ears to hear, let him hear. You know, if you put your hands right up here, you'll know if you have anything up there, okay? They're called ears. They're meant to hear with, amen? Listen to what Jesus said. He said, but take heed, be very careful what you hear. Here it comes. With the same measure you use it, you're sowing now. With the same measure you use what you're hearing, it'll be measured back to you. And you who hear, more will be given. Isn't that amazing? That's what the Lord says. So God says this. He says, whatever. That word is extremely important. Whatever a man, a woman, a Christian, an unbeliever, whatever you sow, that word whatever means exactly what it means. Whatever. Whatever you sow, you shall also reap. Let me give you a few translations. How about the Good News translation? People will reap exactly what they sow. The New Living translations. You will always harvest what you plant. In one of my versions that I study with often, the Amplified version that amplifies the Greek, certain Greek words. Whatever a man sows, that and only that is what he will reap. Amazing. That's kind of scary, isn't it? Now listen, what does that tell us? It tells us that each person who sows, you are deciding what your harvest is going to be. You sow a bunch of junk into your life, I'm telling you, a bunch of junk is going to come back into your life. Amen? You know, what are you reaping? Ask yourselves right now, what are you reaping? Or you say, why is this happening to me? And then go back and say, well, it's what I've sown. You know, for example, if you don't study the Bible, you're getting in trouble. Amen? If you sow, see, studying is sowing into God's Word. So if you sow into Bible study, what do you reap as a result of sowing into Bible study? You reap a renewed mind. Amen? An unrenewed mind is an unarmed mind. You'll never know the will of God. You'll not know how to defeat the devil or how much God loves you. You'll not know what justification or sanctification even means if you don't renew your mind to God's Word. Very, very important. You know, I was listening to J. Vernon McGee. You know, he's in heaven now, but I love that accent, don't you? You know, I wish I could. I really would love to imitate that. You know, that, never mind. He was talking, I heard him on the radio, he was talking about a gentleman who went to visit people in the penitentiary. And so he was, as he was walking down the cell, the guard was leading him to a certain cell. He passed a cell, and there was a prisoner inside of his cell with a needle and thread, and he was sewing his socks or whatever it was. And so the guy stopped and said, he wanted to start a conversation with him. So he just, said, hey, man, what are you doing? Are you sowing? And he said that the prisoner answered back, says, no, I'm not sowing, I'm reaping. What a true word, amen? Now listen, did you know that whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap is a very positive thing? I think sometimes the church takes it as a negative thing. You see, a moment ago, I read all of chapter from verse 1 all the way through. Why did I do that? Because when we read beginning there all the way down, we realize that those who are spiritual do certain things. If you want to know the text, always read the context. So that's why I read that earlier. In other words, if we went back to verse 1, what does a spiritual man do? A spiritual man, a spiritual woman, meaning those that are led by the Spirit of God, where the Spirit has His way. The first thing that they do is restore, amen? The second thing they do in verse 2, they bear burdens of other people. The third thing they do in verse 3 is that they examine their own work. And then when they get down to verse 4, what does verse 4 tell us to do? Is anybody going to tell me? Do I have to look at it myself? Do I have to? What is it? There you go. And then when you get to verse 5, it says for us to bear our own load, correct? And then when we get to verse 6, it tells us something that a spiritual man, a spiritual woman, those who are led by the Spirit, what they do. They are givers because they support the ministry. The Bible is very clear about sowing and reaping in your own life. Paul the Apostle, when he wrote to the church at Corinth, he told them this in 2 Corinthians 9:6. He says, but I say unto you, he who sows sparingly reaps sparingly. He who sows bountifully reaps bountifully. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you believe that? Okay, see, either that verse is true or it is a lie, but we know it's true. Whatever a man sows, the measure that he sows, it's measured back to him, actually more, to be honest with you. Yeah, see, this right here, people, is used, you hear it on TV and everything. You know, this is about, get that seed in there, man. If you plant that seed, you're going to get that harvest. But yes, it has to do with money, no doubt. But you know what, guys? That's not the heart of a true Christian. That's a low motive. I'm giving to God the gets from God. You, all things are already yours. Amen? No, you're giving back to God what He has already given unto you. It's a privilege to be a joyous giver unto the Lord, to have the joy of generosity, living in our hearts. Listen, sowing generously is never a loss when you do so with the Lord. Remember Proverbs 19:17, the great scripture. It says that he who hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto God, alone unto the Lord. And God says, and he will pay back what has been given. You can't lose with God. Amen? Luke 6:38. What did Jesus say? Give, and you'll never have another. No, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over into your bosom. For with the measure that you measure out, it will be measured back to you. Amen? You can't lose when you sow with God and reap with God. You can't. You'll never, ever, ever, ever lose, loved one. And some of you are going, well, I'll tell you what, I sowed bountifully and I didn't reap anything. Well, then you got a problem. Maybe that problem is not God, because God cannot lie. Maybe that problem is you. Maybe you have a heart that needs to be reevaluated. Maybe the motivation of your heart is not right. Because the Bible tells us, it says in 2 Corinthians 9:7, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart. In his heart. Okay, I want to just give. Not out of impulse. You say, I purposed it in my heart already. This is what I want to do this week. Okay, praise the Lord. He says, let each one give as he purposes in his heart. Not grudgingly or out of necessity. Why? For God loves a cheerful giver. Listen, this is so vital. We only reap when we sow with the right heart motive. Does that make sense?
Well, our time is up for today, but Pastor will conclude this message on our next broadcast, and we hope you'll tune in once again. Thanks, everyone, for listening to Love Never Fails. Have a wonderful rest of your day, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.